books.
Welcome back to the Roundtable, 11:15, and it is Tuesday here on the Roundtable. That means book picks. Independent booksellers from all over the region take turns joining us on the show and sharing their impressions of the best fiction and nonfiction they've read lately. Today, we are joined by our friends Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. Welcome.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Are you ready?
Who's going first today on the list?
I'm going to jump in.
Really? Yes.
This is Connie.
All right, Connie.
I have the adult list, so I'm going to talk about those. And let me just say that I was reviewing my books to bring in this morning, and absolutely everything that I put my hands on had the themes of survival and resilience.
Why?
So apparently, it's both what the writers are writing about, but also what the publishers think we want to read in January. So these are...
Huh. Yeah, right. Is this tapping into your psyche as well?
It is, actually.
Yeah?
It is. I've been reading a lot of these myself.
Are we going to make it?
The jury's out.
All right. Well, let's get to the list then.
So I start with Kingdom Tide by Rye Curtis. So the story begins when a small plane crashes in the Bitterroot Range, a 1.6 million acre wilderness that straddles Montana and Idaho. There were just three people aboard, the pilot and a husband and wife, heading to a fishing trip in Montana. The sole survivor of the crash is the wife, 72-year-old Cloris Waldrip, who is now lost and alone, exposed to the elements with no tools beyond her wits and ingenuity. Her grueling attempt to survive and escape the mountains is gripping and the heart of the story. Intertwined with her tale is Deborah Lewis, a park ranger struggling with addiction and a recent divorce, who is galvanized by her new mission to find and rescue Cloris. As Cloris wanders the mountain forests and valleys, subsisting on whatever she can scavenge, her hold on life ever more precarious, Ranger Lewis and her motley group of oddball rescuers follow the trail of clues she's left behind. Days stretch into weeks and hope begins to fade, but Ranger Lewis remains dogged in the search. This is a debut novel by Rye Curtis, and it is, as I mentioned, a wonderful story of resiliency and survival.
All right. It starts with the plane crash, fatal plane
starts
crash.
Starts with the plane crash.
So that's probably why it wasn't out before Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everybody's depressed enough at the holidays.
Merry Christmas. Read about a plane crash.
That's Kingdom Tide by Rye Curtis. All right.
Next, I have a book, another novel. This is The Innocence by Michael Crummy. I have brought in books by Michael Crummy on this show before. He's a writer who lives in Newfoundland. In this new one, a brother and sister are orphaned in an isolated cove on Newfoundland's northern coastline. Their home is a stretch of rocky shore governed by the unforgiving ocean. Their existence is marked by a relentless back and forth of abundance and scarcity. Still children, with only the barest notion of the outside world, they have nothing but the family's boat and the little knowledge passed on haphazardly by their mother and father to keep them. Muddling through the severe round of the seasons, through years of meager catches and storms and ravaging illness, it is their fierce loyalty to each other that motivates and sustains them. But adolescence brings challenges of an entirely different sort to this isolated pair. Crummy deftly explores the changing interior lives of brother and sister as they struggle to understand themselves and one another. And all of this is set against a really remarkable tale of survival and the harsh beauty of Newfoundland.
And that's The Innocence by Michael Crummy. We're joined today by Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. Connie handling the grown-up books and Kate handling the kids' books. And we'll get to those in a little bit.
And then my third one is Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss. This is now out in paperback. It's a slim little novel that I couldn't put down. And we begin in this one in the north of England. And Sylvie and her family are living as if they are ancient Britons, surviving by the tools and knowledge of the Iron Age. For 2 weeks, the family has joined an anthropology course set to reenact life in simpler times. It's a dream come true for Sylvie's father, a self-taught student of ancient Britain. They are surrounded by forests. They make stew from foraged roots and hunted rabbit. The students are simply fulfilling their coursework, but for Sylvie's father, he's fulfilling a lifelong obsession. He's raised her on stories of early man, taken her to witness rare artifacts, and recounted time and again the rituals and beliefs of the ancient Britons, particularly their sacrifices to the bog. But mixing with the students, Sylvie begins to see, hear, and imagine another kind of life, one that might include going to university, traveling beyond England, choosing her own clothes and food, speaking her mind. The ancient Britons built ghost walls to ward off enemy invaders, rude barricades of stakes topped with ancestral skulls. When the group builds one of their own, they find a spiritual connection to the past, but their experiment with the ritualistic quickly turns dark and frightening. And as an aside, any of these books, but this one in particular, I would say would make a terrific choice for book clubs to discuss.
Ah, okay. And that's Sarah Moss, Ghost Wall.
And then my nonfiction choice for today is An Arabian Journey, One Man's Quest Through the Heart of the Middle East by Levison Wood. Following in the footsteps of famed explorers such as Lawrence of Arabia and Wilfred Thesiger, British explorer Levison Wood brings us along on his most complex expedition yet, a circumnavigation of the Arabian Peninsula. Wood started in September 2017 in a city in northern Syria and set forth on a 5,000-mile trek through the most contested region of the planet. He moved through the Middle East for 6 months, from ISIS-occupied Iraq through Kuwait and along the jagged coastlines of the Emirates and Oman, then across civil war-torn Yemen and onto Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Israel, before ending on the shores of the Mediterranean and Lebanon. Like his predecessors, Wood traveled through some of the harshest and most beautiful environments on Earth, and seeks to challenge our perceptions of this often misunderstood part of the world. Through the relationships he forges along the way, and the personal histories and local mythologies that his companions share, Wood examines how the region has changed over thousands of years and reveals a side of the Middle East we don't often see in the media.
And that's An Arabian Journey, One Man's Quest Through the Heart of the Middle East by Levison Wood. What did it tell you about the universality of humanity?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much of that, of course, because you, when you're talking one-on-one with people and sharing food with them and hearing their stories, of course, of course, that's what happens.
Well, Kate Reed, handling the kids' books today, is that one of your passions or is that they said, hey, Kate, you handle this?
No, it's my passion.
Yeah.
But I'm going to mix it up a little today.
Okay.
Instead of sharing solely picture books, I'm introducing four nonfiction books for middle readers.
Okay.
And young adults. So at Battenkill Books, we've noticed a trend that tweens and teens are expanding their interest beyond fantasy and the post-apocalyptic writings. So here are some suggestions. The first book is a book for middle graders called Greta's Story, the schoolgirl who went on strike to save the planet. And it is by Valentina Caramarini. And as you probably guessed, it's a biography of Greta Thunberg. And it describes how Greta became concerned about our climate crisis, her first simple actions back in 2018, her use of social media, and how the movement has expanded across the globe. And there's a personal side to this book as it describes how Greta's diagnosis of autism has played a part in her story. So it's really quite interesting. Suggestions for action and responses to the climate crisis, along with additional resources, are also included in
and
the
book. And you say middle grade. So this is 6th grade, 7th grade?
Anywhere from 8 to 12.
Okay.
Year old.
All right.
So, and then the second book is Flowers in the Gutter, the true story of the Edelweiss Pirates, teenagers who resisted the Nazis, and it is by K.R. Gaddy. And in it, we find out about groups of lower economic class German youth who have resisted the growing Nazi movement starting in the 1930s and the 40s. And specifically, the book follows a small group of teens in the city of Köln. And as youth in the 30s, they experienced the rise of Nazism and their parents, in some cases, being imprisoned or disappearing. And as teens, they were expected to fall in line with the Nazi youth and war movements, but instead they painted anti-Nazi graffiti and distributed anti-war leaflets and helped those that had been persecuted by the government. And then as the war escalated, some resorted to sabotage and armed resistance in the 40s. And some of these individuals survived the war and some did not. And after the war, the group was really went silent. So Ms. Gatti did some firsthand research to write this book for the young adult audience. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting.
So it's Flowers in the Gutter by K.R. Gatti.
Mm-hmm. And then moving along, there are two books I'll quickly mention, again for tweens and teens. And they are the young readers' editions of Code Girls, the true story of the American women who secretly broke codes in World War II. It's by Liza Mundy, adapted by Lori Kalkhoven. And this the adult edition has been around for a while, but this is one that's written specifically for that younger reader.
Now, this is fascinating. In other words, the adult edition has been out for some time. Is it a complete rewrite?
Basically, yes. Adapted for the reading levels of, and there are, in some cases, these books are take out some of the more harsh writings.
Gotcha.
Just
mm-hmm.
so that they're not, you know,
offending
too hard
youngsters.
For the youngsters
mm-hmm.
to read. Mm-hmm. The other is a new release, both as an adult book and as a young reader's book, and it's called The First Conspiracy, The Secret Plot to Kill George Washington by Brad Meltzer and Josh Mensk. And this looks at the plot that occurred during the Revolutionary War that could have drastically changed our early history. And it includes what ifs, you know, there could be tremendous changes.
How many books has Meltzer written?
I have no idea.
Quite a few, yeah.
He's so prolific on TV. Yeah. There are so many specials.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
Meltzer
right.
specials. Okay, we have time for maybe one more here.
Yeah, and lastly, I have a picture book. It's a sweet book called Where's Baby by Ann Hunter. And Ann's ink and colored pencil illustrations of Baby Fox hiding in plain sight of its dad while dad goes searching throughout the land for the baby will delight any 2 to 3 year old. And we have autographed copies available because Ann Hunter painted the mural in our young folks book room where you can see her tree, which is filled with animals, and you can experience the opossum, which she has in the tree, which from any point in that room is looking at you.
Well, so nice to have Connie Brooks and Kate Reed here from Bat and Kill Books. The list is online.